Let us turn to the book of Jonah and chapter 1, the first chapter of the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, and there at the first verse. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah. His name means dove. And God gave commandments to Jonah to do something. But Jonah didn't want to do it. And Jonah sought to run away from the command of God and to escape from what God had told him to do. Because Jonah, in one sense, was racist. And Jonah didn't want to preach to the Ninevites. The Ninevites were Gentiles. Jonah was a Hebrew, an Israelite, and the Ninevites were the enemies of Israel. And Jonah knew that God was a merciful and gracious God, and that God is slow to wrath and quick to forgive. In chapter 3, in verse 2, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Jonah didn't like his enemies. If God had told Jonah to judge his enemies and to overthrow his enemies, he'd have been very happy to have seen his God judge the wicked Ninevites. But God is slow to wrath, and he is quick to forgive. God uses means, and he uses people. In verse 5 of chapter 3, So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. I want to notice 4 things about this man Jonah, and what few lessons we can learn briefly from this encounter with God of this man Jonah, notice firstly the providence. The providence. The Westminster Shorter Catechism asks the question, what are God's works of providence? And the answer given is, God's works of providence are his most holy, wise, powerful, preserving and governing of all his creatures and all their actions. The decrees of God, again, that same catechism asks the question, what are the decrees of God? The decrees of God are his eternal purpose according to the counsel of his own will, where he hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. Jonah heard the voice of God. God speaks to Jonah. And he tells Jonah, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up against me. God speaks and God has spoken. In the Old Testament, he spoke, didn't he? Sometimes in an audible voice, sometimes in a vision, sometimes in a dream. Today, he speaks to us through his written word. God has given us the Bible. We don't need dreams and visions and audible voices to hear God's speaking voice. We read it in the Bible. And when people say, God has told me this, unless they're quoting scripture, they're talking nonsense. You see, the Apostle Paul, in writing to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And notice the breakdown that he gives. Doctrine. What do I believe? Reproof. Correction. Instruction in righteousness. And then Paul goes on to say that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So whenever I want to hear the voice of God and God speaking to me, he speaks through the Bible. And that's how I know God's speaking voice. But Jonah, in his day, he didn't have a completed Bible. He couldn't look at scripture and see what God says and what God wants of me and what God commands of me. God speaks to Jonah. Now, there are times we don't always do what God has said. There may be reasons for that. Maybe, like Jonah, we are prejudiced. And Jonah is prejudiced. He doesn't like the Ninevites. Now, Nahum, another of the minor prophets, in 650 BC, God judges the Ninevites. God comes to them, and Nineveh and Nahum tells us, God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath to his enemies. But Nahum goes on to tell us in chapter 1, verse 3, the Lord is slow to anger and of great power. But God came firstly, didn't he, to the Ninevites in a message of mercy. How does God guide us? Well, God's given us his word. How do we know the will of God? It's in the Bible. And there may be specific things that don't speak to our situations, but there are principles upon which we can discern the will of God. Maybe some people say, well, is it the will that I marry? And they may say, well, I've met a non-Christian, and I'm seeking God's will, should I marry them? Or they may say, I believe it's God's will. But we know that that's never God's will, because the Bible tells us, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And Paul says about someone who's been widowed, that they are free to marry, but only in the Lord. So we know God's providence and God's guidance can be misread. And Jonah misreads the providence of God. Or he could do. Ignoring the voice of God, he escapes down to Joppa. And lo and behold, he sees that there is a ship going to Tarshish. What a work of God's providence. Maybe God wants me to go to Tarshish. Maybe that's the will of God. After all, I go down to Tarshish and there is a ship there waiting for me. And lo and behold, a second work of providence. I've got the fare to pay. And these are in our text. He found a ship, so he paid the fare. And if he wanted, he could have reasoned, this must be the will of God. But we know the voice of God overrides those providential leadings. Because God told him specifically through his word to go and preach to the Ninevites and preach to them the message that I give you. But Jonah says, no, I'm going the other way. But it was against the will of God. And whenever we go against the will of God, it doesn't go in our favor. And it doesn't go in Jonah's favor. And he encounters all forms of difficulties because he is going against the revealed will of God. God told him to do one thing, Jonah escapes to do another. Now, is it possible to go outside of where God is? We're told, aren't we, that Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. But God is omnipresent, isn't he? That could mean he is going away from the temple and going away from where the people of God are and where God would come down and meet with his people. Jonah is running away. It pleased God, didn't it, to tabernacle amongst his people. And Jonah's running away. Jonah's running from the presence of the Lord, but of course, that's something you can never do. The psalmist says in Psalm 139, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. There's no escaping from God. The providence. Notice, secondly, the problem. What was the problem? Well, we've already hinted at that he doesn't like his enemies. Doesn't want to go and be in that position to proclaim mercy and grace to these people. And Jonah knows that God is merciful and gracious, slow to wrath, and quick to forgive. Jonah knows that. Jonah knows that the Lord is kind. And the Lord forgives even his enemies. In verse 9 of chapter 3, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn from his fierce anger that we perish not? But Jonah, in seeking to disobey God, brought heartache and trouble to his life. Even to the point where Jonah wanted to die. In chapter 4, verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. For it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah obeyed God straight away. He wouldn't have got himself in the problem that he found himself to be in. Jonah again expressed his wish to die. For we read in chapter 4, verse 8, and wished in himself to die. And said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the good? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Jonah created problems for himself by running away from God. But God loved Jonah. God loved Jonah. And God wasn't going to let Jonah go. But whom the Lord loves, he chastens. We'll see a bit more of that in a moment. But he disobeyed God. He's running from God. And he did something that God doesn't do. Paul says, for while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved his enemies. God loved his enemies. Paul would go on to say, and you that sometimes were enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Bible teaches us, doesn't it? Old and New Testament, to love your enemies. To pray for those, says Christ, who despitefully use you. Jonah doesn't want to love his enemies. He doesn't want to preach a message of grace and kindness and forgiveness. He's a nationalist. And he's racist. But he can't escape from God. And Jonah brings himself in all forms of difficulties because he's running from God. And there can be Christians who are running from God. We say they're backslidden. They don't want to be in church where the Lord is. They don't want to be in God's presence where two or more are gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst, says God. Don't want to go to church. Why? You're running away from God. Do I want to read the Bible? Why? We're running away from God. Do I want to pray? Why? I'm running away from God. But we'll cause and bring nothing but trouble into our lives by running away from God. Those who seek God are promised, aren't they, blessings and delight and receive the Lord's smile and not his frown. But he can't escape from God. Because when he is fleeing from God, God is working out his purpose for the life of Jonah and the ministry of Jonah. And that brings us to the third point, the punishment. Now there's a difference, isn't there, between God lovingly punishing. People don't like that word today. But punishing his people. There's a difference between that and God punishing the unrepentant wicked. We could maybe substitute the word punishment for correction or chastisement. And the wicked that are under the just sentence of God's wrath are deserving punishment for their sins. Those who are God's children will receive punishment in a term of correction. As Hebrews tells us, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, he corrects. And we've already said, God loved Jonah. Even when Jonah was running disobediently away from God, God still loved Jonah. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God loved his people and loves his people. And God loved Jonah. As we've said, whose name means dove. And God wouldn't let Jonah go. God loves his people because he loves his son. And the love that the Father has to the Son is the same love that he has to all of his children. And while he escaping from the presence of the Lord was still working in Jonah's life. And God overruled in Jonah's life. And God's going to correct Jonah. And Jonah, he does get to Tarshish. And he's in a ship. And he's with a bunch of heathens. And there's a storm that rages. And everybody becomes afraid and terrified. I love storms, wild weather. But I'm not sure I'd want to be in the sea, terrified by the raging waves and ready to perish. And they realized, you see, they would have been superstitious. They would have believed in gods. And they realized that there's a terrible storm. And they were afraid. And they prayed to their God. And Jonah is fast asleep. People can sleep, can't they? Though they're running away from God. Their conscience sometimes may keep people awake. Didn't seem to keep Jonah awake. Jonah's running away. Jonah, we read, was gone down into the sides of the ship and lay and was fast asleep. Now they all seek their God for an answer. And then they think of Jonah. Let's ask this guy about it. And they tell him, "You call upon your God to help us." They're afraid. And they say, "Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." And they cast lots. "Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." People believe that. If you upset the gods, you'd incur their wrath and their judgment. And they want to know who's to blame. Who's to blame for this storm? And they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. So they ask a little bit about Jonah. "Where are you from? Why has this evil come upon us? What's your occupation? Where is your country? What people are you from?" And he tells them, "I'm a Hebrew." That's how they referred to the Israelites, Hebrews. "I'm a Hebrew. And I fear the Lord God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." And they ask, "What have you done? This God who rules the waves of the sea and the dry land, what have you done? Now there's an element of common grace, even within these heathen sailors. They asked Jonah, what shall we do? And Jonah says, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. Then he tells them, the sea will be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon us. But then we read that the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. They didn't want to just pick up Jonah and throw him into the sea. For they knew that he would die. There's a common grace of God in all men. A common goodness. That's not to deny total depravity. We believe in total depravity. But that doesn't mean man is as wicked as he could be. Simply means that sin has affected every part of man. But every man isn't a serial killer or a cannibal or a monster. Some people are very kind and very good and very decent. And they don't know the Lord. And these sailors didn't want to throw Jonah overboard. They tried to row, and then they realized, this is no good. We better throw him over. And that's what they do. You see, God controls, doesn't he, the weather. We find out in the ministry of Christ. When Peter, his friends, are there on the boat, and the waves are getting very boisterous and wild, and Christ always has to say, be still. And the seas calm straight away. God controls it. God controls the weather. God controls all things because he is sovereign and in every place. See, God is going to make sure Jonah does exactly what he told him to do. God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, no. Where did Jonah end up? Nineveh. What did God do? Spared the people and the animals. God spared them. And at the same time corrected and rebuked Jonah. Jonah had done what God had told him. He wouldn't have been swallowed by a great fish. And he complains. And he grumbles. And he moans against God. But God has his way. Sometimes people have a God, even in the professed Christian church, and he is limited to our decision and our plans. And we present an impotent God to the world as if he cannot work unless we give him permission. No. God will work with or without your obedience. God is not limited to man's choices and to man's decisions. God overrules and he corrects Jonah. But notice lastly, the protection. The providence, the problem, the punishment, the protection. Because we've said before, God loves Jonah. And God so loved Jonah, that he's going to correct him. And he's going to teach him. And it's going to be painful. We know, don't we? They do throw him over. But as with all of us, our lives are in the hands of a sovereign God. God decides when we die, not man. God sent a great fish. Some people say it's a whale. But the Hebrew for whale is a different word. We don't know what type of great fish it was. But it comes. We find from that God controls even the animals. God controls them. God is in control of nature and he's in control of animals. God created them. He controls them. He governs them. None of them ever rebelled against God. But God sends this great fish. And what does it do? It swallows up Jonah. God prepared that fish and gave it a command, and the fish obeyed. They're under God's jurisdiction. And God cares for the animals. Proverbs 12, verse 10 reminds us, a righteous man regards the life of his animal. And there's another indicator of that in Jonah, chapter 4. In verse 11, God says, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons, 120,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. And notice then the last few words of Jonah, and also much cattle. So God's concerned for the whole of the Ninevites. If God rained judgment upon the Ninevites would be consumed. Not just the Ninevites, but the animals as well. But God saves the Ninevites and the much cattle. You see, they weren't just Jonah's enemies, they were God's enemies. And everybody in this world is God's enemy, under the wrath of God. But God's offered a protection. God protects Jonah, swallowed by a great fish. And Christ alludes to that, doesn't he? As Jonah was in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man. Reference there, of course, to his own burial. And as Jonah comes back to life, being spewed out by the great fish, so Christ comes back from the dead, bodily being raised up. And God offers the protection, not just to the people, the Hebrews, that Jonah came from. But the gospel now is not limited, is it? To one nation, to one tribe, to one particular group of people. The gospel is universal. And it goes to all people. That God would save all those who trust in him. But Jonah, you'll never be happy when you're running away from God. Better not to do it. God, you see, gives Jonah angry. Though he is, God provides for him. We read in verse 2 of chapter 4, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? And in the previous verse, it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. Why? I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. And repentest thee of the evil. So he knew that. But he doesn't want it for his enemies. But God's going to determine to save who he wishes. And Jonah, we've already mentioned, he wants to die. He's that miserable. And he's angry with God. And wants to die. But God says to Jonah, and he's teaching Jonah a very important lesson. You see, God gave to Jonah a plant. Because it's very hot. Jonah went down into the city to see what will happen. And the Lord God prepared a gourd. A tree. A plant. And it made it to come up over Jonah. You see, God's in control of the plants as well as the animals. That it might be a shadow over his head to keep him warm or cool. In the heat. That it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. And Jonah became exceeding glad of the gourd. Creature comforts. Comfortable. But Jonah never deserved that. Jonah never deserved any comfort from God. But God then prepares a worm. God's in control of the insects. God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day and smote the goat that it withered. God sent a little worm. Nibble away at that plant that it dies. And then Jonah, because God's going to teach him a lesson, and it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die. Who's in control of the plant? God. Who's in control of the worm? God. Who's in control of the wind? God. God's going to teach Jonah a lesson. And God says to him, thou hast had pity on the plant, for which thou hast not labored, neither made it to grow. And God says, should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, that are more valuable? And God did spare them, and they did repent. Then, as we've seen later on through Nahum, they would go back and incur God's wrath upon them. So we learn from Jonah, obey God, stay close to him, receive his smile, and do his work, and receive the blessing from the Lord. Well, before we pray, let's sing together hymn number 187. 187.